Thank you, musicians. You just get me all night, I'm afraid. I hope that's a good thing. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. We're going to read Romans chapter 8, verses 26 down to 28. I don't know where the service will go from here. I don't necessarily know what the Lord may want to speak. I have some notes here. I have my typical notes that I always do every night, but I appreciate when the song service goes along with what you're preaching. I appreciate when the people's hearts line up to the song service and then hopefully they line up to the preaching. But my heart's burning tonight with a fire. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." I merely just titled this to this night, this Wednesday night, "When There Is Nothing You Can Say." When there is nothing you can say. Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight, Lord, just one more time in prayer, seeking your face and asking, Lord, that you would help me to be able to preach right, Lord, to be able to teach, to rightly divide the word of truth before this wonderful flock here tonight, Lord, to be able to minister to these folks underneath the anointing and the unction of God. Lord, being able to maybe answer questions, or Lord, just fire up the saints of God in order to have a place of solitude with you, being able to come to you, Lord, I pray that you would help me to be able to say what needs to be said and keep my mind from those things which are not. Keep my mind sharp, Lord, tonight to be able to say what only you wish me to say in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I read those scriptures to you, it says there that we get into a place where the Spirit has to accompany a man and has to make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The reason why I chose my title, "When There Is Nothing You Can Say," is because there are times in our lives, and all of us have been into that particular circumstance, where we get into things where we literally do not know what to do. If you've not been there before, you will be. If you've never been in that experience where you didn't know what to say and you always have something to say, one of these days in your Christian experience, you will run across something where you do not understand, you do not know what's going on, you do not have the proper words to be able to tell what's going on to you, or will you be able to have the proper words to be able to pray or ask God for help in a certain situation. There's no doubt that that comes upon every Christian. There's no doubt if we are Christians, we are familiar with the term of prayer. There's no doubt that even from the time of a little child, even when I was growing up and our family in and out of church, we were taught to pray before every meal. We were taught to pray before we went to bed. However, you know, I don't know how far those prayers went, but however, we knew what prayer was about. I didn't know everything about prayer like I do today, but however, I had a basic understanding that it is me here on earth talking to a God who is in heaven, a God who can and will answer prayer if I ask aright. And there's no doubt, I even as a little child, I had that in my mind. There's no doubt, even as I'm talking to you tonight, you can think back on many different sermons that you have heard upon this specific subject. hundreds of countless of sermons, and no doubt books upon books, which are probably innumerable on this very subject. You know, people are intrigued by prayer, want to learn about prayer, and some people even want to learn how to get to a place where people will call themselves prayer warriors. Will say that I am a prayer warrior. Well, I appreciate that term, but some people want to be able to conquer prayer or be able to have the corner of the market, so to speak, on prayer. And really, in all honesty, we are all learning every day on how to pray. It doesn't matter how long you or I have dwelt upon this earth, no matter how long I have lived, no matter how long I have been saved, I am still learning a lot about prayer. I am still learning. I have countless of books in my library just on that subject, on prayer. I will also say that everyone is an expert too, or a lot of people will say, well, you know, I am an expert in the area of prayer. Folks, I don't know if there could actually be an expert of somebody who prays. I don't know if you can necessarily pray enough. I mean, you can find where Jesus Christ in the Bible prayed all night just to make a decision about which men were going to follow him, which men were going to be 12 choice men who were going to follow him, and he was going to teach and minister to, and he prayed all night in those decisions. And yet, sometimes you wonder, even us in our frail state that we are, how much more we need to pray when Jesus Christ, who had the Spirit without measure, prayed all night in order to choose out 12 disciples. There is nothing greater that a Christian can do other than pray. You know, finding time alone with God is one of your greatest aspects of your day. You have got to spend time alone with God. You take a week, for instance, and let's say you miss Monday and you miss Tuesday and you miss Wednesday and on prayer or seeking the Lord's face. And I guarantee you, when you come in here on Wednesday night, you're going to feel a little cold. And the reason why is because we've not spent time with God. We've not been near Him. And we need to do that. It is a most crucial thing for a Christian to spend time with the Lord. When we pray, there are different types of the ways that we can pray, or different things that men have taught down through the ages. But when we pray, the first thing that we can do, we can praise Him. We come before Him with praise and thank Him for who He is and what He is. We can also give thanksgiving on what God has done either for us for that day or an answer of prayer. There's also confession of when I come before God and I say, Lord, you know, I've done this particular sin. Please forgive me. Or I can come to the Lord and be able to ask in confidence, make a petition known of what I need in my life, where I need things spiritually, where I need things physically, whether I need $100 come Friday because I have a bill due, whatever it may be, I can be able to bring these petitions before an Almighty God, being able to come to Him and ask Him for these things. We have an audience with heaven. We have an audience with an Almighty God who created everything, who did all these wonderful things. We have an audience with the Most High through the Holy Spirit, and being able to take advantage of that is a most important time of our lives. You know, and it's very interesting how all these things go. We can even, one of the things that I really enjoy doing, and I like for people to do for me too, is to intercede on the behalf of others. And there's probably no greater thing that you can really do, in interceding for other people, being able to pray for other people. When somebody is up here praying, that you come up and you lay hands on them praying for their situation. You may not know necessarily what these people are going through or what their troubles is in their lives, but this intercession, this interceding on their behalf will likely be a benefit to them and also to you, because we get out of our rut of always making petitions to God. In prayer, we always make petitions. Lord, I need. Lord, I want. Lord, I'd like to have. Lord, this. Lord, that. All these things that I may mention about myself. But there is no greater satisfaction than when I know that a brother or sister is in need. And when you get down and you put your arm around that brother in the Lord, or you ladies may put your arm around your sister in the Lord, and you're praying for them up here in the altar, and you see that person get blessed, or God answers them through a word of God or whatever it is, and you know that the Lord is blessing them. You see maybe tears roll down their face as you're interceding for them at the altar, or and maybe you don't necessarily see it. You might be praying for them at home and never really see anything, but there is nothing better than getting out of ourselves and then praying for somebody else's needs, praying for somebody else's desires, wants, being able to pray for their spiritual needs, and then being able to sit back and watch God do something absolutely amazing. I really like intercession or praying for other folks. I really enjoy doing that. What happens, when we don't know what to say? As I said before, you know, what happens when we get into a trial or something and there's no way to be able to explain it? There's no way to be able to really know necessarily what is happening to us or how to be able to find words, on being able to explain what is happening to us or being able to even get down in a place of prayer. There's been times where I've been going through something and I've literally just laid down either at my couch or at a chair or in my bedroom and literally just laid there and not known what to say. Well, you say, well, that's horrible. You ought to know what to say. There are some times I have no clue on how to word what I need from the Lord. There are times when I have no clue when I stand before His awesomeness and I'm going through all these troubles and all this seemingly like this decay in my life. I don't know what to say. If somebody else in here knows what to say, I'd please hope that you'd come and see me after service, because then maybe you could help me out in my prayer life, because there are some times that I have experienced where I just didn't know what to do or how to word the stuff. You may say, well, I've never experienced that. Well, I'm glad that you haven't then. I'm glad that you've never experienced that, you've never run out of words. But like I said, however, your time is coming, and mine is too. I've had several times like that before where I didn't know what to say or didn't know what to do, and my time is coming again. My time is coming where I'm not going to know what to say. I'm not going to know what to do, and I'm going to be in prayer and be baffled. But however, tonight, we do have a hope when those times do come. We do have a hope when those personal times come upon us, when we have some of these things are out of our control. Let's look at point number one. I'm going to tell you these three points. Number one is going to be the person of praying, which being us or necessarily you, the person of praying. And the second part is the personality of prayer, which is the Holy Spirit. And the third is the productivity of working together when we begin to line up with the Spirit of God and how much power that there is resulted from being able to come together. I'm hoping to make this short tonight. I know there are plenty of needs here in the house being able to pray about some of these things. I'm going to try to make it quick tonight because prayer is very important, especially on a Wednesday night. And you know, sometimes in personal praying, sometimes many of us, even myself, we appear like we have everything under control. And yet when maybe if you could see deep down inside of my heart, really, I'm just like a raging whirlwind, or I have storms in my life. Necessarily, you may not be able to see around what I've necessarily pictured before you. I will smile at you. I will wave at you. And really, you may not know what's really going on inside of me, because I really have become a very good actor. I've really become a very good person where, you know, I'm actually sad on the inside, but I smile on the outside. I have trouble and turmoil, but I appear like I have joy and life overflowing. And I appear like I have everything under control. And really, in all reality, I don't. And really, all reality, we don't. You know, all these different circumstances and in our personal praying. Let's look at these scriptures when we can see this. In verse 26, it says, As you look down there, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray. Really? No, really. We know not what we ought to pray. Sometimes we get into a place, it's almost like in a second of time, we forget everything that we have read, everything that we've studied about prayer, and when a certain circumstance is coming against us, we forget necessarily all those things that we have learned about in prayer, because this is a new trial. This is a new test. This is uncharted ground that you and I have never been on before. Or it could be old ground that we wish we weren't back into. And we're just flabbergasted. I don't even know how to pray. We don't even have the right knowledge on what to do about this specific situation. I have no idea how to approach the throne of God and even ask God how to even help me in my situation. How do you help me, Lord, in this situation? I don't even know what to say to you. I don't even know how to put it into the right words so that you'll be able to help me. You know, sometimes even out of all these sermons that we've heard and all these books that we've read and all these things that we've thought we've put together for prayer, we get to a place where we fall prey to forgetfulness, seemingly. All of a sudden, my brain that was full of knowledge on prayer, I mean, you get us around and you know, maybe we go out to coffee or something like that, and you just wanted to talk about prayer, we'd probably talk all day about men who have prayed and great moves of God and all types of things that we have seen and had done, and we can all testify that prayer works and how God moves on situations. And yet I can find myself in a certain situation or a certain trouble, not knowing the words to say, not almost forgetting, and my mind being wiped blank of all those times in prayer that I spent before the Lord, and God answered those, and totally forgetting. You know, and also it says that here in the Scriptures it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, some of those, for as we ought, in other words, we have needs, and we should know how to meet them. We have needs in our lives, and we should know how to be able to pray about them. I mean, the Scripture is saying, he says, we have a knowledge, or we say that we have forgotten about these specific things in our lives. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. Somewhere along the line, we know here in the Scriptures is saying we ought to know how to do these things. He says, but we really don't know. Somewhere along the line, we lost the connection with the Spirit of God. We lost the connection with the Lord and being able to know how to treat this. Now, however, also, we are frail creatures, right? You and I in this building tonight, Bible says we are created like the dust. All of a sudden, I'm supposed to know how to pray and I forgot how to, or I'm supposed to know how to do certain things. And when something comes that challenges me, I forget. And even to the place to where I can't even utter this stuff with my lips. I even get to the place to where even help me, Jesus, is far from my lips. Not that I have turned my back on Him, but it gets so hurtful and the burden gets so heavy. You ever been there before where the burden gets so heavy, the burden gets so troublesome that you don't even have the right words that be able to come out of your mouth to even say, Lord, please help me in this situation. Where you don't even have the words to be able to form in your infinite mind, your small mind, your earthly mind, being able to put it in the right form to God so that He would be able to hear you and answer your prayers. There's nothing even coming out of your lips. You can't even utter what you need. We have groanings. I mean, literally, there's something deep down inside of me and you that that is beginning to pinch our hearts, beginning to grab my heart and just beginning to squeeze it just like that. Just like if some 300-pound guy was grabbing an orange and just twisting it and just the juices was coming out. I mean, that's what happens when this great weight, this groaning comes upon you and I and it just wrenches us. And it doesn't, sometimes it doesn't, you say, oh, well, they would be probably a sign of somebody crying. Not necessarily. Or there'd be somebody, you know, making some type of weeping. They might not necessarily even be weeping, but you would see them like sobbing. You know what sobbing like? Like that. That's sobbing. Where they wouldn't even really be able to cry, but they're sobbing. And that's not even what I'm talking about, but there's something in their heart that's just beginning to have so much pressure on it that they're beginning to groan inside of themselves. They're beginning to make a noise. I mean, just like something is resisting them. Something is coming against them. Something's coming against you and me that I am not strong enough to be able to handle. I mean, you get some of them guys that lift weights or something. You'll see them guys pull cars. And I guarantee you see some guy pulling some car or big truck behind him and you'll see him all strapped up and they make a groaning. They ain't happy about it. It's a weight. It's a pulling. And that's what it is. It's groaning. You get underneath the weight and it becomes unbearable. It becomes to a place where you and I have not the strength within ourselves to be able to handle this burden, this trouble, whatever it is. There's a person of praying, and that's us, you and I. We don't have the knowledge to be able to handle it. My mouth cannot utter it. You know, and we should know, but my mouth cannot even utter it, and there's groanings that are a great heaviness upon my heart. Now, there's a personality of prayer, and so glad that there is a personality of prayer, somebody to help me. That personality would be the Holy Spirit. That personality would be my helper, my God, my ministering power, the one who helps give me my thrust, almost. It's almost like my spiritual cup of coffee or whatever. You get up in the morning and you drink a big glass of coffee before you get a big glass or a big mug of coffee before you go to work. And it's your thrust. It's your motivation. It's what you thrive on. I mean, the Holy Spirit is like somebody that wants to motivate you going the right direction, the right way, helping you be able to minister to you while you are not able to help yourself. While you in your own strength are not able to do it, the Holy Spirit comes along and says, I'm going to help your infirmities. I am here to assist you in your troubles. I am here to help you. And, you know, He helps our infirmities in prayer. I mean, not only do we have, I mean, this is amazing to me. Not only do we have infirmities in our bodies, not only do we have infirmities, you know, in our lives, just all around, just troubles everywhere seemingly, but we literally have infirmities in our prayer lives. We literally have a place that there are big sections of our prayer life that are not there that should be. I literally get to the place where I don't know, you know, what to do. If God would have a section, you can pray really good in this area, you can pray really good in this area, but this area is wide open. The Spirit of God wants to help us in those areas that are wide open, being able to minister to us and help us, assist us to be able to move through those places that you and I don't have the strength to move through. Like the valley of the shadow of death. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I'm talking about places that you and I, well, we're going to go through them, but it almost feels like I have no business there. But yet, the Bible says we're going to go through hardships and go through troubles, and He's going to minister to me and you and help out my infirmity, help out my weakness in that area. Man, praise the Lord that I'm not praying John Hyde. You know, I'm not some prayer warrior that prays 4 or 5 hours a day. I still don't know how to pray. There are times that I really don't know what to do or how to do it. But luckily, I have a helper. I mean, luckily, I have somebody that will come along. And that, you know, that helper means an assistant. somebody who will assist me in my trouble, somebody who will assist me in helping me. I mean, somebody getting my speech around. It's just like when I get ready to preach. To be honest, you know, I mean, I pray about this stuff. I write stuff down. But I really need the Spirit of God to assist me when I get up here in front of you. So, I mean, in all honesty, I mean, we need the same assistance that we need when we come before God in heaven, being able to have some assistance. How many infirmities do we have? A whole bunch. I mean, how many are there? How many areas does the Spirit or the Holy Ghost help us out in already? Do you realize that I don't have the greatest personality? No, really. I'm sure that I've rubbed people wrong right here in this church. Oh, Father, forgive me. Really? I mean, where I've probably made somebody mad in here. I've probably done something to somebody. And I have a place of infirmity. I'm sure of that. I'm sure that you and my personality don't get along very good. I could probably talk to some people and they'd agree with me. But I'm sure that I'm not the greatest in that area. And just the same way, I'm not the greatest prayer warrior in here. Just the same way, I need assistance on being able to help me pray through things that I need help with. I need assistance on helping me to know what to pray. It's horrible when you wake up in the morning and try to pray and you're just like, your mind is floating everywhere. 2:30 in the morning, your mind is all over the place. When you get up to go to work and the rooster ain't even got up yet, you're in big trouble. There's nothing that you can do. You need assistance from the Spirit of God to be able to help you navigate through what you need prayer with. Help on being able to know what to pray for. I mean, I pray about the church. I pray about the pastor. I pray about different stuff. And sometimes my brain's everywhere. I probably hit everybody in here twice. And there's probably 50 or so people in here. But, I mean, your mind can just go everywhere. But I need assistance on knowing which way to go and how to pray. And the Spirit of God will help that. Because He is our helper, being our assistant. The Spirit sees our weakness and makes intercession for me and you. That intercession is going between us and God. That intercessor is almost like a block that is our stepping stone, so to speak, going up the next level. The Holy Spirit helps bring an intercession in there. If I want to make it to the balcony up there, I know Pastor can jump 30 feet. Because he said that the other day. He can jump 30 feet right from here and he can make it, and everybody else can't make it. But now me, Brother Kincaid, I can't jump from here and try to make it up there. Or I can't even get really close and try to jump up there. I'm not Michael Jordan. I can't make it up there. I can't even get my, I probably can't even hardly touch the bottom of the rafter up there. I'm so uncoordinated anymore. But what the Holy Spirit is almost like if I'd say, you know, I want to go up higher. I want to go a rung higher. And what He does, He helps me, becomes my intercession. It's almost like as if a magic set of steps would appear just like that. And I was able to go up the next rung, the next level, the next ladder. I was able to hit the next step because of His intercession for me. I was able to get into the presence of God like I was never able to get into it before because He became my intercessor. He became my steps. He became the one that was leading and guiding me to the next level, going up just another rung higher through the Spirit of God, being able to move and help me, being able to take my infirmities, my weakness, my frailties, you know, all of these things in my life that I need His help with. He sees my weaknesses and makes intercession for me. He sees that in my life that some of these things are not being done. Because I don't know what to pray for. I don't know how to pray. So He helps me along in those areas. He does it properly also. Jesus the Holy Ghost is a gentleman, folks. And I'd like to preach on that one time about how much of a gentleman He is. He is not going to force you to come down to this altar and pray. If you have something in your life, He's not going to force you to find yourself a place and force you down on your knees and say, you will pray now. The devil does that stuff. You know, the devil makes you do things, or the devil, you know, will influence men and all those things. But the Holy Spirit will just give you a little nudge, an unction, so to speak, which I'll talk about here in a minute, and kind of nudges you on the way that you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do. I mean, I've never seen the Holy Ghost take a baseball bat and bing somebody. Because he's all about being a gentleman and taking you properly. Now don't get me wrong either. I'm telling you that he's taking care of your infirmities and all these things, but the Holy Ghost is not an enabler. In other words, I just can't sit around my house, never think about prayer, never try to pray, and sometimes getting down and praying and the heavens are like brass. He's not an enabler to me. In other words, you know, he's not just going to sit back and let me be a lazy boy and never really pray, never really put forth an effort to try to pray, and he's not going to come and intercede for me because I'm not putting forth any effort. And he wants us to put forth some effort so that he can have some material to work with. Something. Even if you don't know what to say, by all means, just sit there. I don't know. You just do something. Be able to be pushed in the right area. And, you know, one of the greatest things is that, you know, when I'm getting guided by the Holy Spirit, I'm being pricked, I'm being unctioned, anything that's happening, the Bible says in those scriptures is that he knows, the Spirit of God knows the will of God. Well, I'm glad for that. Somebody does. I've met pastors who thought they knew the will of God for my life. I'm glad I didn't listen to half of them. Now, I don't know how many times I've had people come up to me and thus saith the Lord and everything else, and it didn't happen. But I'll tell you what, there's never been a time that I've found myself in a place of prayer coming before the throne room of God and saying, Lord, I need help in this area, or I need guidance or whatever. And the Spirit of God has spoke to me and said, I want you to do this or want you to do that. And I'm not going to tell you I've always listened. Okay. I've not always listened to the Spirit of God, and I've got myself into some trouble. And it always leads to trouble when you won't listen to the Spirit of God. But however, if you will listen, you will be able to find yourself smack dab right in the middle of the will of God. If you'll listen. Because he knows it, and there's no better place to go than praying and have the will of God. I mean, the Spirit of God reveal the will of God for your life. And necessarily, the will of God may not happen when the next time, let's say God speaks to you tonight and you're praying around the altars. When you walk outside of these doors of this church, when you walk outside there, boom, it's not going to be, you know, tomorrow. It's not going to be happen the way God told it. Folks, I've been called for 15 years to preach the Word of God. And I'm still not where I really feel like the Spirit of God spoke to me one time. I'm really not where, it never happened where God called me to preach and then boom, I was in a church or here I was doing something. It takes time. It takes a long process. And the will of God, I mean, we may not be able to we'll have to be patient in order to see the Spirit of God help and work out the will of God. But he knows it, and he alone knows it. And I'll tell you what, I will listen to the Spirit of God 100 times before I listen to somebody or some man tell me what they think I ought to be doing when they really don't know. Or even if somebody comes up and says, thus saith the Lord to me. Folks, be very leery, especially here in the last days. There'll be all types of filthy people telling you all types of stuff, telling you all types of loose doctrine and different things. But let me tell you what, the Spirit of God knows the will of God. The Holy Ghost knows what you're supposed to be doing, knows where you're supposed to be. Don't even take it from me. If the Spirit of God never spoke to you and I say, thus saith the Lord, Brother Wally Streeter, you're supposed to do something great and grand and all this other stuff. Spirit of God never spoke to you, brother. You might as well just, you know, see you later. You want to be able to be careful because the Spirit of God knows the will of God. Not a big surprise to anybody. Amen. Not only do we have our own personal praying and we have a lot of trouble with that and the personality of prayer, the Holy Ghost be our assistance, but there's productivity when we begin to work together. And I want to incline to this and look at this, but in verse 28 it says, all things work together for the good. Everything, all things work together for the good. I have not always understood the will of God. I have not always understood the way that it went or how it went. And let me tell you, if you can explain it, then you're a lot better off than I am. Because there's sometimes that the will of God is sometimes hard to figure out. And like I said, just because I get down here and pray doesn't mean presto that the Spirit of God lays upon the will of God upon me like it should. Sometimes you go into the thing and hope for His leading, hope for His help. You know, and let me know, you know, let me know that when we look at the Scripture, and we say that all things work to the good of those that love the Lord, just like I said before, when tomorrow comes and we walk out into tomorrow, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be peachy keen and fine. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be okay. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be all right. You've went to prayer, you've interceded, you've asked the Lord to help you, whatever, and the Spirit of God is making intercession through groanings which cannot be uttered. I mean, you don't even know what to say. And yet, because you felt the presence of God or whatever, it takes a little bit of time to work all these things out. It takes a little bit of time. We don't always see just instant answers to prayer. Man, I mean, I love it when it happens, and it does happen sometimes when instantaneous stuff happens and we can sense God's presence and God moves on a situation. I love it when it happens, but there are times when those little talks with Jesus become a little bit more time to talk with Jesus and a little bit more time to talk with Jesus. And the next thing you know, 5 and 6 years go down the line, but you cannot give up praying for what you're praying for. You cannot stop praying for what you're praying for. You're praying for some lost loved one. You can't stop praying for that instance just because you've not seen anything happen, just because they got an extra tattoo or they got an extra earring in their ear or whatever it is. You can't stop praying over that. You've got to continue on. You've got to continue having those little talks with Jesus over and over and over and over and continue looking to Him for your answers, because if you continue on, if you keep pushing forward, you will find a place where God will minister to you and help you out in your situation. I believe that. There is productivity when we work together with the Holy Spirit, not resisting Him. When God begins to work the good, God might, in order for God to begin to work the good, let me put it like that. My notes are all messed up. You'd read them. Whew, they get pretty crazy. When God begins to work the good, the first thing God has to do, He might have to come into my life or your life and dismiss the whole of evil, because he might have to get rid of the evil in order to allow the good to happen. Did you hear what I said? You may have to allow God to dismiss the evil before He can allow the good to come in. There is a resistance. God cannot stand sin. God cannot stand evil. God will not come near it. God doesn't care for sin all that well. He despises it. Doesn't look too kindly on it. And if you're waiting for something to happen, and you're praying for something to happen, please examine your life before the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Allow Him. There's a reason why He's called holy. Because He wants to look through our lives to see if there's anything. And sometimes, you know, God can't move because there's something there that is hindering His move. There's something He wants to move in our behalf, and there's something that is just not allowing it to happen. And I guarantee you lay down the evil thing, and you might find yourself in the midst of a blessing, in the midst of something triumphant, in the midst of something that's grand. You haven't heard God's voice in a while. There might be some reason behind that. You haven't experienced the presence of God in your life in a long time. There might be something behind that. You've grabbed onto the evil and forgot all about the good. So the Lord stops and He's waiting for us to have that happen in our lives, being able to get rid of that evil. The process, you know, to get to us to the place to where we receive His goodness and we allow Him to do as He wishes and whatever He may have. He may have something great for us to do. He may have something great for us to pray about. I have no idea. But the Spirit of God wants to unction us in order to get us to action. And then when we get into action, we will have production. And then, you know, production leads to all types of things. I don't know how many times we've had, you know, I was trying to remember what Brother Bearcloth talked about, but I won't do him any justice. But I don't know how many times we've heard people from this pulpit talk about how people were unctioned to get up in the middle of the night at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and B in some other country. Now this isn't a true story, but I'm just giving you, for instance. But somebody get up at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and feel the Spirit of God unction them to pray. And they don't even know what they're praying about. Don't even know what the situation's going on. God never really lays a missionary on your heart, never really tells you a name, but He tells you to pray. And you get up and you pray and you pray and you pray. And finally, all of a sudden that unction leaves or that burden leaves and it lifts up off of you. And the next thing you know, you hear talk about of some missionary, maybe in South Africa, maybe in South America, maybe over in England or something, at 5 o'clock in the morning and you were praying at 1 and it was 5 o'clock over there. Somebody was about ready to blow their brains out because of them being a missionary and their witness for Christ. And all of a sudden, while you were praying, that person turned around and walked out of the room because they were afraid and they didn't know why. That's when we get to the place where we can have the Spirit of God unction us into action and have production. And it happens. I mean, God wants to move. And the next time you feel the Spirit of God nudge you in your bed, by all means, get out of it. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of your jammies. Put some clothes on. Put on a cup of coffee. Whatever you got to do. But by all means, listen to the Spirit of God, because who knows how the Lord might want to minister you. There could be a missionary in trouble. There could be somebody about ready to get saved. And with maybe that Spirit of God wants to unction you to raise up and listen to what He has to say. And we have no idea if we would be able to get into this place of having the Spirit of God move through our places where we have no place. We don't even know what to say. And He could use me as a vessel, you as a vessel, being able to minister to us. And let me tell you, the greatest job on the earth is not behind this pulpit. You realize that? I believe the gospel's number one. Don't get me wrong. I believe talking to people about Christ and all that stuff, that's good. I love it. But we've got to have some power behind that. If it's only me praying or only pastor praying over his sermons or something like that, and he has nobody out here interceding and praying for the church services Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we have to have people backing us in order to be able to help us. You have a part in that. You have a part in being able to have the unction of the Spirit of God. I mean, the next time you're praying and interceding and fasting for the church service and the church service takes off, thank you so much for praying and being a ministry or being a tool that the Spirit of God used. Nobody will know until we get to heaven that you prayed that prayer service down or you prayed that service down where we can have the Spirit of God. But you are very important. No matter how young, no matter how old, we can pray. I need your prayers. Did you know that? Maybe the reason why I've not gotten into a church yet is because you haven't prayed enough for me. Oh, I'm just kidding. It's probably not true. A lot of you pray, I'm sure, but I'm just throwing that out there just in case. Anybody underneath the sound of my voice, please pray, okay? I'd appreciate it. Amen. But here's something that happened yesterday. And I'm going to leave off with this. This is my conclusion, and then we'll spend some time in prayer. Yesterday at work, I was talking to a guy, and I've been talking to him. He's a saved man. And I was talking to him at work, and we were talking, and he wanted to go home. And I'm his team leader, so I went up to him, and I said, "Hey, what's the matter?" He said, I don't know. I mean, he was really shaking. And he was really shaky. He said, I don't know. He said, "I just feel really nervous about something." And he's not normally him. He's usually pretty bubbly, you know, pretty cool kind of guy, you know, just nothing really bothers him. And the man, he was just, he's like, he said, "Something's got me nervous. Something's just got me, I can't even put it into words what I'm thinking." Folks, it wasn't 20 minutes later. One of our machines, we have a tendon machine, and what it does, I can't explain it all to you, but on the doors, it has a tendon that goes around and it fits into the door. And we put glue on those and we mold those on a shaper on a table, and it goes into these heads and then comes back, and then we stick those tendons inside of the other part to make our doors. Well, sometimes if the machine's malfunctioning or whatever, what happened was one of the sides, it has clamps on the sides. They come down and then there's other clamps that come back this way. So then when it's going into the table, it won't go into the heads. Well, what happened was, I mean, it wasn't 20 minutes later. The girl put the stuff in. I watched her do it and she did it just fine and perfect. Well, all of a sudden, one of the parts slammed into the head of the right side. The hood flew, the hood tipped off like this. Plexiglass, I mean, like three pieces of plexiglass flew inside of those heads, plexiglass going everywhere. And I mean, there was three ladies over there and they were going, ah, you know how, I mean, it would be very frightening. I'm not picking on any of the women tonight, but I mean, it slammed in the heads. And then next thing you know, I mean, we had a big mess. I had to change the heads. I had to fix everything. And you know what? Nobody was hurt. And he told me, he said, I don't know why I was nervous this morning. He said, I didn't feel like it was for my family. He said, I didn't feel like it was, he said, I just didn't know. He said, something really made me really bothered inside. And I told him, I said, do you know why? I said, you just had a groaning which could not be uttered. And I said, possibly. And I said, I really feel that possibly if you wouldn't have had that this morning. Now, folks, I pray before I go to work. I never had a groaning that could not be uttered. I wasn't thinking about anything. I didn't pray about anything in specific. But this guy over here had a groaning in his spirit. Something was bothering him. And I told him, I said, who knows how many angels was over there catching those pieces so those girls never got hurt. Yeah. Folks, that's some velocity when those things come out of there. That ain't no joke. That's some big time stuff. And not one of them ladies got even touched by one of those pieces of that plexiglass coming out. No wood. I mean, we had wood fly through there and everything else, and not one of them got hurt because somebody was listening to the Spirit of God, and it was a groaning which could not be uttered, being able to be used by the Spirit of God. Isn't that fabulous? I mean, being able to see it. And I told him, I said, and I'm going to admonish you the same way. I told him, I want to admonish you, and I'm going to admonish you all here tonight. Be mindful of the Spirit of God. Be able to listen to the voice of the Lord, the pricking of the Spirit of God, the unction of the Spirit of God. If He's unctioning you to do something, do it. Be obedient. Listen to what He has to tell you. Folks, there's nothing better than getting up. You think, oh, I'll be tired if I get up at 1 o'clock in the morning and pray. I got to get up at 5. Let me tell you what, the Lord will give you strength for the rest of your day. You'll have joy unspeakable and so full of glory you won't even realize that your whole day will go by so fast that the Spirit of God will help you with your day. Oh, you may not have a perfect day, but because you got up and prayed for an hour or 2 hours for somebody, you didn't even know who their name was, you don't even know what God had you wake up for, but you knew He pricked your heart. I mean, that's amazing. And I'm going to admonish you the same way. Be faithful to listen to the Spirit of God. And the more that you're faithful, the more that you listen, the more that He'll use you. The more that He'll gladly, the next time, He'll wake you up some more, or maybe even He'll be nice enough and just talk to you at 6 o'clock in the evening, right before you're ready to, right after dinner or something. I don't know. But by all means, allow yourself to develop this in your life. Even though you have nothing to say, allow the Spirit of God to move. He says He moves, you know, even when there are groanings which could not be uttered. Patrick, you want to play us some music? Everybody stand, if you would. I didn't give you much time to pray. You get like 5 minutes or something or whatever. I wish we had more time to pray because it's very important. Very important to pray and seek the face of God. There's nothing better in this life. If you're not called to preach or you don't have something to do, we all have a ministry in prayer. All of us. Every last person. And I desire to be able to see the Spirit of God use me in that area. Being able to wake me up. I don't care what time it is. Do whatever He so desires. But just be able to allow the Lord to minister to us. Even when I don't know what to say, the Spirit of God knows how to deal with it. He knows how to make intercession through me and you, no matter how it all turns. Amen. Let's all bow our heads in a word of prayer, and then we'll come up and pray. Heavenly Father, so thankful for Your glory. So thankful for the Spirit of God, which we felt, Lord, in the song service. So thankful, Lord, that as You've taken my tired body, Lord, through the day and just the troubles that we've experienced all day. Lord, thank you for allowing me to preach your word, being able to stand before these people and utter these fabulous truths of the word of God. Father, I pray for these people, Lord, as they've heard the word, Lord, allow them to not only hear it, but be doers also. Lord, being able to use us in the gifts of the Spirit, or being able to use us, Lord, in prayer, being able to use us in the unction of the Spirit. Lord, I believe people need it. I believe that people need to use or be used by the Spirit of God to be able to accomplish something great for the kingdom of the Lord. For all the glory will be given to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come and find yourself a place to pray. Hallelujah.